The 26th of July.
Good grief.
2016. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you. We lift Mike and Kaylin up right now, asking that you'll just give them some rest, Lord. And we just look for another opportunity to share with them and pray for Mildred, Lord, and for many of us who are just carrying some groans in our bodies. We just invite you to come and glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Bless this time, Father. Amen. One thing I want to share just very quickly that I thought you might get a kick out of. For this momentary light affliction, though our outer man is decaying, our inner man's being renewed. We have this building from God, not made with hands, in heaven, but we also have this earthly tent, and in this house we groan, longing to be clothed. And I just like that, because there's some. I got up this morning and I groaned.
And I just, sure I like that one.
Huh?
Not sure I like that one.
It's just so real, you know. Really ask the Lord to really be with us today, as He always is. But I want to share something that was an utter surprise to me last, I think, Wednesday evening. And it has just built since then. And I'd like to start with Mark 16. At the end of the Gospel of Mark, it's where he tells them, he appears to them, and then in verse 15 he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believed. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them, and confirm the word by the signs that follow. I don't know how many times all of us have probably read that great commission from Mark, but one word jumped off the page and I just was stunned by it, and it's the word creation. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now go with me to Romans 8, and a very familiar text that we've looked at before. But I want us to look at the word creation again. I'm trying to think. There was a biblical scholar about 25, 30 years ago. Some of you may remember him. And he was not only a biblical scholar, but he was an archaeologist and a geologist. And he talked about the creation and that in the beginning, before man fell, no rain had fallen, and there was over the earth this great ark I can't even explain it the way that he did. And then he said when the flood finally came in the time of Noah, that it turned the earth 16 and a half degrees. And I have no idea whether he's right or wrong, but I do know now that true north is different. That the planet shifted. Yeah. Now, I wish I could remember everything he said, but I was intrigued when I was reading this last week. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And the word creation just jumped off, and I said, you know, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I've never had any problem with that and creation. But the thought of preaching the gospel of creation just absolutely undid me. And I said, I don't understand that. And that's when I went back to these familiar texts. And if you'd like to follow with me, please, let's go back to Romans 8. I'm going to pick it up in in verse 16. I'm going to read it very slowly for my own benefit, not just yours. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, I don't care if we live to be 120. We're still kids. We're children of the living God. But we are children of the living God. Now, that's like obvious, okay? Verse 17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. What is an heir? An heir is someone who received something that preceded him in life. Then he says, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. So there is, he said, I consider in 18 that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And because I spend time over at Prairie Rose and just having been with Mildred and being 80, I'll be 81 this year, and many of you are older than I am, a few of you are younger, but when you get older, you just begin to realize there is a kind of suffering that as you grow older. It's just, you know, I laugh every time I get up. It seems farther, for I consider the sufferings. Then he says, 19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And I'm saying, no, wait a minute. How can the creation long? For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. I have difficulty preaching the gospel to the creation. I don't get that. But then I go back and I read when Jesus talks about the end time, about all of the things that will be wars and rumors of wars, and there'll be creations, earthquakes and all of those sorts of things. And then I remember some of you, it's got to be 25 years ago, the last book that Agnes Sanford wrote. I don't know if you remember. In the last years of her life, do you remember? Do any of you remember Agnes Sanford? Okay. She and her husband, Edgar Sanford, started in the late 30s and early 40s, the Order of St. Luke in the Episcopal Church. And it was a ritualistic communion service where they would cast out demons and pray for the sick. And it was all done in ritual. I don't mean that negatively. And it was a beautiful service. I attended many of them in my own life. I attended it down at First Methodist when she was there, back at the time of Bill Thomas. Point simply being is that Edgar died and she continued to live and lived into a rather old age. But in the final years of her life, God told her to move to California. And in the book, and I cannot remember the title of the last book that she wrote, she said she was real hesitant to tell people why she was moving to California. Because she moved to the place of the San Andreas Fault. And she said that she was to rise every morning, go to the edge of the fault, and pray that there be no earthquakes. As long as she was there, I think it was 8 years or so, and that may be wrong, there was no earthquake. Every morning she would pray, and she said, I know people looked at me and shook their heads, you know, bless your soul, you old woman. But the point is, she said, God told me to pray for the creation. Well, shortly after she died, the first earthquake in her time. Well, I got thinking about all of these things, and then I got back here. The creation was subjected to futility, waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. That means you and I have a responsibility for this creation. I mean, we were responsible through Adam for its fall. And when man fell, everything that was supposed to be under the domain of man fell also. And evidently from what this says here, the creation is waiting for you and me. Bear with me here. Some of this, it's being recorded, and I said it's going to haunt me. But I want us to understand something here. I want to read on and then come back through these verses again. But because it was subjected in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Well, I went back and I was reading where Jesus talks about the end time and quakers, all those things going on, all the natural phenomena. I just, like you would do, you say, Lord, I'm not getting this. Can you help me here? I don't see. I don't want to run off some stupid slew of despond. I want to understand what's going on. And I felt that he was saying, every time you see what you call a natural disaster, it's the creation groaning, yeah, revealing for the sons and daughters of God. Right. Whether it's a tsunami or a flood, right, or a hurricane or a tornado, right, or an earthquake, it's God saying, because it was under your dominion, it's still crying for deliverance. And I go back and I read that, and I say, no, you kind of look around, is anybody in here hearing me say this? That the creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption. Then several months, you remember I was teasing Reba about being ready in the kingdom to come. Jesus saying to her, Reba, we've got problems over at Betelgeuse, about 15 billion miles over there. Little planet problem. You want to go for us, The point is, it says, at the regeneration, you remember, when the earth is regenerated, when sin is no longer in dominion on this earth, that what are we going to do? I don't think we're going to sit around on harps. I don't think it's going to be a massive eternal worship service. He's got to give us work to do. Work is supposed to be a blessing. And in Genesis, Adam and Eve had work to do. There was something to do, to name the animals, to control the whole creation was under their dominion. Well, I look out here, and I see this vast, vast universe. I'm sure he's got other things for us to do. Now, I don't know what they are, and I wouldn't dream to think I would know. But one thing I do know is that we're not going to sit around on clouds plucking on a harp. I just, if that's the view, I don't want to go there. I think it's got to be something that's creative, because there is something about work. Let me give you an example, just a very human example. Over the years, and you've all experienced it perhaps, or people who have. I've talked to older people, bringing up Prairie Rose a lot. The complaint I hear is, I don't have anything to do. I need something to do. And some people say that they're so looking forward to retirement. Well, I'm not sure that retirement is what God has for us. My point is that we're created by God in this image. We also are creative. We're creative people. And there is a work that God gives you to do that is especially, you've been especially created for. And when you do it, life seems to coalesce and things seem to come together. Well, I was reading all of this and trying to put it together. Children, heirs, sons and daughters of God, the anxious longing of the creation, the regeneration of the earth, eternity, and all those things were just rushing through me. We know that the whole creation, verse 22, groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Now, I understand childbirth. I've seen it 6 times with my own wife, and I understand the groanings and this kind of things like, don't talk to me, and other things like that. But to transfer that kind of groaning to the creation, that Paul is saying it's the creation is just like childbirth. It's not an easy thing. And there's a lot of groaning. Now, that's in the Bible. Don't blame me for that. And not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. In other words, the fact that as we are growing, not only just growing older, as he writes in 2 Corinthians that I read earlier, and that our bodies get old and they begin to grow and you begin to feel, that's also a sign to us that God is in us. The very fact that we are groaning. And that's what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to go back there and through all those verses. But here it is again. Waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. You go back to 2 Corinthians, that portion that I read. He's talking about the same thing to the Corinthians. He's saying that your body is going to be redeemed. We're going to get new ones. And oftentimes we've talked about that here. And everybody's saying, thank you. It can't come too soon. But it's one thing to sort of say that comically. It's another thing to say, what is God saying in the midst of our groaning? Go ahead.
There's more.
Where?
With him. Well, actually here. He's going to redo it and give us something to do.
Right. It is there, but it's also here. It's the part of the prayer where we're saying, thy kingdom come. Well, it comes, if we're called to pray that as led by the Lord Jesus, then we've got a part to play in the creation. Now, I understand taking the gospel to people who are lost and getting them born again. But what about the creation? He says, for we ourselves groan within, same words that he's talking about as the creation groaning. Yes, Ellen?
18. It says,
back in 18.
I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons. What's that mean? The revealing of the sons of God.
That's us.
What about us?
The revealing of the sons of God means that the sons of God begin to do what they're called to do, what they're saved for, the work that we're created for.
That's what the revealing is.
I think so. I think it's also part of what the regeneration is. You know, when you go back, let's just look at these verses. You know them, and I don't want to bore you with them, but let me read them to you. You know where it come from. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule.
Yeah.
And then it talks all about all parts of creation. And God created man in his own image, male and female he created, and he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. In other words, in the garden, they were in their innocent state. They were created to rule. I cannot imagine all that that might mean, except from what we've got here in the text. And if you'll notice it, it says, when man and woman were made, they were given a job to do. Let me just read a couple of verses here. The Lord God put them in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, from any tree, etc., it's not good to be alone. And then it says that man, Eve comes, of course, and then Adam says he has no suitable helper and all of that. But God is telling him that he's to name all the beasts of the field. And in other words, he's got a job to do. When man fell, the creation also fell. I've always had pictures like this, and if this is silly, you know, just delete it. I would love to see, I've been to Israel, where the Jordan River, bubbling clean and pure into the Dead Sea. And I've always thought what it would be like to lay hands on the Dead Sea and say, be healed. Now, I know this can sound silly. But I can remember getting into a bathing suit and jumping into the Red Sea and just laying there, you know, because there's so much salt.
Yeah.
I believe there are so many places of this earth that are desolate. And when you read about the flood of Noah, And if what that guy was saying years ago, and I wish I knew who he was, the whole earth had this
canopy.
Thank you. That's the word, a canopy around it, because there had been no rain until the day of Noah. And the canopy broke, and for the first time, rain came down. Until that time, everything that was living on the earth was watered from what? From the ground. There was no such thing as rain. And he explained it very, I can remember listening to him with my mouth open. I never heard anything like it in my life. But after the fall, and then Noah, the whole creation. So then I go back and I read these verses and I'm saying, I'm supposed to learn something here. Not only about my brothers and sisters who need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and be born again, but I've got something to do with the creation. I've often, when I am not a gardener. Why Jerry could ever be a gardener takes an anointing of God.
I agree. Amen.
I'm not a gardener. My dad was a gardener. I was not a gardener. Ah, okay, well, you can look this up then yourself. His name is Y-I-G-A-E-L, first name, Yadin, Y-A-D-I-N. Thank you, Jerry.
Who is he?
He's
the archaeologist that Tom was talking about. He's also a politician and a general.
Is he alive?
No.
Oh, he's not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
What occurred to me when you talk about it is the first time I think I was really exposed was with some of C.S. Lewis's writings about the spirits of the trees, and they were talking to the trees, and the stars were singing. I'd never heard that concept before, and so I think he had a grip on.
Oh, I think so. Well, wasn't it Job that said, that in Job it talks about listening to the singing of the morning stars? And in this whole creation epic, it talks about the very creation singing. Well, I was, it was Wednesday night, and our friend Jackie was there. She had a book that was given to her years ago of a woman who lived in about the middle of the 1850s, and she was a poetess and an artist. And there was a portion in it where she had written in her journal that she was listening to God speak through the trees and through all of these things, you know. And I kind of laughed because...
You talk to the birds.
I know. You met Francis of Assisi. Used to talk to the animals, and I've told you about this, and I know it sounds so silly, but when I walk in the morning, oftentimes I'm absolutely convinced that God speaks through His creation. And there are whole portions of the creation that have got to be redeemed, and I believe that's part of our preaching of the gospel, not just to people, but to the creation. That's why I sometimes dislike when politicals get involved in concern about our planet and make it a political thing rather than an obligation of us as Christians to care for the planet. I think we're supposed to. But I don't think it should become a political thing, you know, and like it's become. Yes?
I think one of the things that at least slows me down is intellect. I mean, you think, well, our intellect has always said, you know, that's just a rock, that's just, you know, that's just a tree. You know, don't talk about talking. That's stupid. But you think about people like John English, who has some insight. You think about Scotty Norville, that's got a whole ministry that has to do with the land. You wonder, or Agnes Sanford, that was told, you know, pray for San Andreas Fault. These are things God had done supernaturally, I think.
Yeah.
But for those of us who are used to only using intellect and not in the spiritual realm, just dismiss all the things that have to do with, quote, creation.
Yeah.
As far as having any. We see in Scripture where, you know, the rock was the witness. Mm-hmm. And you would read through the Scripture and you say, well, this rock is going to be the witness. Well, we built a
an altar on a rock.
And that'll be a witness in the future. And you think, well, that does make sense in light of this.
Well, I think too of Moses is going, and then he sees a burning bush, and God speaks to him out of the burning bush. Well, in the book that Jackie had, and she's going to get a copy for me, and I want to read more of this lady's poetry. She was an artist, and how many have read any? Is it Voskamp? She writes in that kind of poetic way too. Drives my wife crazy, but I just love it. Well, I'm trying to bring this all together to realize that God does speak through His creation. And I got thinking about, do you remember the tsunami that hit Indonesia several years ago? Do you recall after the fact reading about that about an hour before the tsunami hit,
elephants and
the animals all went up to the high ground, and the citizens were looking around, where are all the animals leaving? That's right. In fact, they were elephants that were tame. They just pulled their little stakes out of the ground and walked up. They weren't offended or anything else. And then came the tsunami. And it's like they go, duh. You know, why don't we hear? So,
you know, that still happens. You remember the other night, the other day when we had a big windstorm?
Yes.
We called our grandson to see if he were okay.
Sure.
And he said, the dog and he were huddled in the hall. And he said, we're doing okay. And he said, whoops, he's gone. Said, he's back. He's gone. And he's back up on his perch and the cat couch on the couch. And I said, well, it must be over.
I've heard similar stories like that. And I'm not trying to be silly, you know.
No.
But there's something that God wants us to do as sons and daughters of God. Yeah.
You know, I was looking at this, the revealing of the sons of God. We're already the sons of God, but we're not in our fullness. We're not in that fullness. That, I think, is the revealing.
Right.
Us in our fullness as sons of God.
Sure.
We're not quite there yet.
Right, but we're in process.
But we're in process.
And part of the process is our relationship to the creation. Yeah. And notice this. It says in verse 24, and I'm going to read it backwards. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Then, depending on what Bible you're reading, sometimes they put these little titles in, and I don't like that. Because they're not in the text. I'm going to scratch them out. Because then it goes on. Then it goes on and says, our victory in Christ. Well, yes, but he's still talking about the creation when he says, and in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. In other words, he's saying the same kind of groaning that's going on in the creation, the Holy Spirit wants us, as we're being revealed as sons and daughters of God, to pray for the creation in the same way we pray for ourselves in the situations of life and living. We don't know how to pray.
That's true.
It's oftentimes, you know, sometimes when you're praying for someone, maybe they have some sort of obvious need, and so you pray for the obvious need, and yet inside you say, we're not... This isn't the deal. So we do this. We say, Father, by your Spirit, will you show me? I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what the real situation is. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I can remember reading this years ago during the birth of one of our children, which one I don't know. And my wife was groaning. And it was something that was very funny between us at the time. And she would groan, and then she said, I'm groaning because I don't want to say something like, my, this is a difficult thing. my, oh my, isn't this a painful sort of a situation? She said, the only thing that relates from my heart is, wow, you know, this.
Yeah.
And I can remember going, being an observer of transition. And I'm grateful that you women do that for us, because I leave the room. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we're seeking God not only to pray for one another, but not to just pray for what's obvious, but it's the same for the creation. We're to pray for the creation also. So here we are today on the 26th of July, 2016. Does this make any sense at all to you about the creation? Would you tell me a little about it? I'm asking.
Is it a blade of grass?
They'd even cry out and praise him if the people didn't.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. You don't. Stones will cry.
The stones will cry out if we don't.
Well, I think there's a whole spiritual realm that we're not even aware of, and it's so far from our intellectual understanding that it's been, you know, if it did come up, it would be dismissed.
Right. Well, you know, when I was reading this book of Jackie's the other day, the woman said, oh, the birds spoke to me this morning. And then she said, oh, I saw this tree, and this tree spoke to me. And I'm reading this, that she read 1840s, 1850s, and I'm just chuckling to myself, saying, I know exactly what she's talking about, because I've experienced something like it.
That is why I love Disney.
Yeah,
I like the animals just like, you know, when they're
standing. Don't you remember?
You know, they think
with snowflakes
in their heart.
You know?
No.
Do you remember the early Disney movie called Johnny Appleseed?
Yes.
It's biblical.
Yeah.
He's just throwing seeds because God wants him to throw seeds. And, there's a little song in it that I remember. But there's something going on in the day in which we live, and we live in Tornado Alley. Yep. Well, I've never thought of Tornado Alley as a voice of God. I hear the sirens going, and I head for the bathtub, you know. Well, I'm not sure that I shouldn't.
Yes, but Tom, we pray all the time. We ask the tornado, for the tornado to leave and go, you know, somewhere where it's just going to farmland or something.
Yes, where it won't hurt people.
I think it's easier to pray to animate things than inanimate, though. You know, really more to think about praying for a rock or something. Whereas we talk to our pets all the time, and we feel like we kind of sense what they're about, but to pray for something that...
Yeah.
People just have had rocks.
Well, yeah.
I do remember that. Well, you know, I was thinking about this morning, and I was praying. I said, I don't even know if I want to bring this up. You know, it can seem kind of silly, you know, but there's something here that God's wanting to say, and I'm not getting it. So I was hoping you'd help me, because he goes on, you know, the Holy Spirit intercedes. So I don't know how to pray for these people, then God, show me. I don't know how to pray for this creation, show me. How do I do it? Well, last Friday I was up in Kansas with some old friends. Some of you know Tom and Sandy. Well, about 18 years ago, when they built this house up there on 7.5 acres, the two of them and three other women, one of which was in the meeting on Friday night, went up to a rock on the property, and they just said they just had to pray. And the property was run down, and it wasn't anything there. And they remember sitting on this rock, four or five of them, it's a big rock up there, and crying out to God, what in the world are we doing here? What why are we here, and why are we getting so emotional sitting on this? So, and they're telling me this story last Friday night. And I said, well, tell us, what was it? She said, we all laid our hands on this rock and said, Lord, I guess we're here to redeem this rock. And they said that, and they said, no, it's not the rock, it's this whole area, 7.5 acres. And I'm sitting listening to it because I've just gone through this on Wednesday night about creation. And now
it needed redeeming because there was old strip mines.
Yes.
Remember that?
There was a whole bunch of strip mines under there that were causing all sorts of problems. Well, they've redeemed it. And now that their time there is done, they're moving on to another place. And God has something else prepared. But Tom and Sandy were saying they felt so silly ever saying anything about it, people, because they'd look at them and say, oh, yes, we, you know, get a net, you know, and go catch that person. Well, all of this is saying to me that this salvation that God has given us in Jesus Christ has an infinite quality to it that is ever growing and increasing. You know, when I read this verse, rather than just try to quote it, let me read it from Matthew to you. You know the text. I've read it so many times before. Come on, where are you? Truly I say to you, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man, or recreation of this world, that's in Matthew 19. In the regeneration of this world, this whole world is going to be regenerated. I've told you that when I drive up north, I love this little place about a mile south of Nevada. And it's not a big hill, but you come up around a curve and up on a hill over the Union Pacific Railroad. And it's a bridge. And when you hit the top of it, you can see for miles that Kansas farmland. It's just gorgeous. And I've mentioned this to you before. I came up one about two months ago. And I just said, I was all alone. I said, God, it's so beautiful. And it's like he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until it is regenerated. Now that was just going through. And I thought, how could it be more beautiful than this? Well, then I read this. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You know all of that. But listen to this. But all of these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, false prophets. All things are going to rise in the last days. And then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, pray to them not be on a Sabbath. And all of the all sorts of natural wonders are going to happen. Well, what's our role? What is our role?
To be stewards.
That's what I think. We're to be stewards of the creation. We're to rule over it.
First of all, we're to pray for it.
Yes, I'm asking how.
As we run.
Every what?
As we run, we pray.
It's
kind of tickling me, right?
All of it.
Yeah.
Well, again, I didn't want to bore you with this whole thing, but I want to go back and read those verses now and see if you hear something else as we read them. Romans 8 again. I want to pick it up again in about... We are, the Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. And we know that sanctification is a process. We know that growing up in God and becoming more and more mature is a process. But what is the result? What is the work that God desires as we grow? All right, verse 16. For we have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God. And fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. You mean the creation has a will? Well, that, is that what he's saying, or am I just being too literal? Doesn't that sound like it? So, and it's groaning, waiting for us.
Doesn't it say, first came up in my mind, the trees of the fields will clap their hands?
Yes, mm-hmm. The trees of the fields will clap their hands.
Which means we will
go out and joy.
Go out and joy, yes.
Yeah. They're waiting for us.
They are waiting for us, and I'm. What I'm not trying to do is put on you the burden that's been on me for the last 7 days. I want to know how to pray. So, when I walk in the morning, I've been praying and say, God.
Every animal.
I'm going to shut this off.